Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity. Welcome to the Thursday edition of the Weekly Conversation. I'm your man with the mic, the host, Kyle. Welcome. Got some tragic news. As many of you know, Linkin Park lead singer Chester Bennington has died at 41. The LA coroners are looking into it as an attempted suicide with six kids. John McCain has been announced and come out as having a brain tumor, and the overwhelming support for him and his family is much needed, especially with our family with some unmentioned issues. Your prayers and thoughts with my family is much needed, and thank you so much for that. Also, a kid who apprentices to be a plumber or an electrician is looked at as something less. Even with no debt and making six figures, micro, something that I want to get into because that's just awesome. And something about the show he used to do, Dirty Jobs. Also, when you have no agenda and you have no position or no policy, Russia, Russia, Russia. Tomi Lahren basically came out with that and you know, hey, the media is in love with Putin and Trump. Because what else can they talk about? Because, you know, when Trump's doing great things and they can't say that, they've got no other thing to do but diss him about, you know, 50 years from now, they'll be like, Russia and Trump, Russia and Trump. Also, O.J. Simpson has been released. Not really, but he's been put on parole, so he's been granted parole in October. If all goes well, he'll be on parole. He'll be out. He looks pretty bad for, you know, but hey, what does jail do for you? You know, so he doesn't look that great. You know? Also, it's Made in America Week, or as the Democrats will call it, you know, Trump lining the pocketbooks of his constituents and all his billionaire buddies. Hillary Clinton's emails are up in a huge lawsuit over a Freedom of Information Act request for them. I will get into that. And the Senate Judiciary Committee has Trump testifying next week and a little bit about that. And also, the witch hunt continues. Dow closes at record highs. A 47% of American poll says that they want the GOP to work with Democrats to create health care. That and much, much more. And also information on the upcoming U.S. Derby between United and Citi and the transfer window and stuff that Mourinho said and much, much more. So welcome to the program that you're a part of. And Corinthians 1:13:1. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. Think about that kind of as you're going through the rest of your day or in the morning whenever you're hearing this. And as many of you heard yesterday, John McCain was diagnosed as having a brain tumor, and the one thing good about it is everyone from Hillary Clinton to Nancy Pelosi to all these people said that if I was going to war, I'd want John McCain leading us. That was Sarah Palin that said that, Nancy Pelosi and all them, nothing but the utmost respect for the man. whether you like him or hate him, he's very, very liberal in a lot of his policies. But you don't want to see anyone diagnosed with a brain tumor. And he is a strong fighter. And I'll be back soon is what he wrote today. So kind of think about John McCain and keep him in your prayers. And his family, and it's just wow. And the thing that was good about it is on the preview of the weekly conversation, if you're right, you know, I said, will there be a one down, many Republicans to go comment? And nothing, thank God. There might have been a tweet from someone. That's not really important, you know, like not a big person, but for the most part, the outpouring and support for him. And it's just, you know, we can come together if someone has a brain tumor or someone's in the hospital, but why can't we come together for this nation and the humans in this nation? We're not white, we're not black, we're humans. You know, there was actually a McDonald's where a server refused to the officer paid for the meal and everything, and the server refused to give him the food. I don't get it, because out of 10,000 cops, there's one example of a bad cop, so oh, we got to treat them all like crap. I don't get it. I guess it goes back to the old tobacco industry, you know, where it was like, okay, well, all we have to have is one study that says that, well, our study found that, you know, that we check the throat of 100 people for a month, every day. And what did you find out, doctor? Their throats are fine with Camel cigarettes. Well, see, our study said this, and it's going to contradict. And it doesn't matter if you have 20 billion studies saying how dangerous tobacco is. Our study said this. Our study contradicts everything that was said. It doesn't matter if every cop is great. It just takes one bad apple and, oh, now we got to crap on all the cops. You want to know how many cops kill a black person? It's a fraction of a percent compared to all the blacks that kill blacks, but apparently, if a white cop kills a black person, all heck breaks loose. I mean, I don't get it. We can't care about the blacks who kill blacks. We only can care about the blacks that get killed by our agenda, you know, because our agenda doesn't, blacks killing blacks doesn't fit our agenda, you know. We have to have a white person kill a black person or a white cop kill a black person to have an agenda, you know. We just have an agenda. We don't really have a belief. We don't have a policy. I mean, just, you know, as a, you know, because we are what we are, you know. If gay marriage wasn't a big issue right now, we would still be against it. But since it's a huge voting block out, we got to be for it. And even though 2 weeks ago we were against it, and but I've always been a huge fan, and he's an Eagle Scout, as am I, class of 1990. Mike Rowe used to do a thing called Dirty Jobs. And a lot of people don't know what that show was about. That show was showcasing the men and women of this country that made this country great, that wasn't afraid to get their hands dirty, that were mechanics, that were chimney sweeps, that were welders, that people that worked on brake presses and bent sheet metal. You know, now people, I got to go to college so I can be a CEO and sit in a desk and not do anything. Secretary, I need my ice bucket filled. Can you get me more scotch? Thanks. That's about 1% of the population that will ever get a sit as a CEO. there are tons of jobs available if you want to be a plumber or an electrician or a welder. If you want to be a day laborer and work with your hands and not afraid to get blisters, not afraid to get dirt under your nails, and you wear steel-toed boots and your pants are flame retardant. Kids who apprentice to be plumbers or electricians are looked down as something less, even if they leave that apprenticeship with no bills, no debt, and they're making six figures. It don't matter. Oh, wow. So you're an electrician. Huh. On our TV, I love it. They have like the class of like 2017, Real Journeyman Electricians. It takes 5 years in your apprenticeship, and some of them actually go to school at like Ivy Tech and get like an associate's degree to go on to that. A lot of them are union. They get good pay. But it's labor. You got to get up. You got to work. But every day is something different. One of my good friends, they have a thing like where for like 3 days, you get like almost double the pay. But if you want, and they have it available for you'll go somewhere, let's say, like we live in Lafayette, Indiana, where Purdue University is. And you could go down to like Cincinnati, Ohio, or to like the Lexington, Kentucky, or maybe like 4 hours away, 3 hours away. And you'll stay at a hotel and you'll work on a job there, you know, work like 12 hours, 10 hours a day. And you work here and you get, you know, and you stay in a hotel and you get extra pay for doing it because it's your wife and your family and stuff. And I've known people that said, I wish I could just do that all week long, because that 3 days, I get more than I make doing the whole 5 days at my other job, at the other electrical work that I do. But and then I'm gone for my wife for 3 days, but then I have 4 days with her. So, but I mean, it's not needed all the time. There's a lot of people, I know people that do that, that actually work for like a company that, okay, you're going to this place in Illinois, and for like 3 weeks, you're doing the electrical at this miner. And then when you're done, okay, now we need you to go here and put this electrical in here, and you work. You may work like a week here. Every place it's different. And I know somebody that tars roofs for a living, and that's what they do. They basically, okay, well, he may be he'll fly them all over to tar a roof. He's, you know, Indiana, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, don't matter. You know, a group of them, they fly out, they do the roof, whatever. Usually more like on a commercial building, you know, like where it's a big flat building, like a Walmart, Meijer, something like Lowe's, and that's what they do. That's what they're trained to do. And it's, they get good money, and you gotta, I mean, if it's 30 degrees outside, it's 30 degrees outside. And there's certain limitations because of the unions and stuff, like if it's really cold, you know, if it's wet and it's icy, that, you know, things that they can and cannot do, and some just because of limitations of, okay, it's too cold, so this won't work, and that won't, you know. But there's some jobs out there if you want to get your feet wet and your hands dirty. It's Made in America Week, and it's amazing. You know, as I said, as liberals call it, you know, it's Trump helping his corporate buddies line their pocketbooks. But then if he was to outsource the jobs, they'd say, oh, he's not helping Americans. Look at all these jobs that are going out to China instead of staying here. Trump can't win. That's the bottom line with the media. No matter what he does, it don't matter. He could give every American $1 million and they'd piss him on somehow. He can't win no matter what you do. I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, this Made in America thing week is great, because I think what he's trying to do is trying to help. He's never once said, okay, folks, yeah, I know how you live paycheck to paycheck. I understand. No, I don't know how you live. I don't know how you survive on three jobs just to pay your bills. You must have a lot of frog in you, fully rely on God. You must be fully relying on God and dependent on God like crazy. Your wife having 49 jobs and you having like 59 jobs just to, and then you still have to cut back on the medications you take because you can't afford to get them and you can't afford this. And he's trying to help us. That's why I loved watching Dirty Jobs, because it was fun to see someone showcasing what hardworking Americans actually do that don't sit in an office all day and just, okay, yeah, can you call up for me? Yeah, I want Jimmy John's. Can you call them up and have them place my usual order? Yeah, my ice container, I need more ice in it, please. Thank you. Most people won't sit in an office as a CEO. Most people are going to be working with their hands. That's what I love. Me and my wife love watching that Fortune Fire show. And I love it because it's neat to see people working with their hands and making things. I'm a huge fan of making things. Usually end up spending 10 times what it would have cost to buy it to make it. But you know what? It's the adventure. But usually what it comes down to for me is, well, I didn't know, I thought I could just get like some pieces of leather to make my sport, and I didn't know I had to buy like two big sheets, and when you buy one get one free, it's still $40 for one of them, and all the stuff that goes along with it. Now if I could have done it at the shop, they have all, because there's a guy there that, you know, you pay for the materials and you can use a lot of their equipment, but it was still fun doing it. But like, I was going to make a case for my Vorsen uke. It's in a, it looks like a little Fender Stratocaster, but it's four-string ukulele and it's electric. But you know what? I'm like, I finally went to Meguiar and they're like, bring it in, we'll measure it, and we'll talk to the company that we get all our cases from. And if they can't, and they should be able to help us find something that will work for it. And at worst, it would be an acoustic case, and you may just have to get like a piece of foam, like half-inch foam, one-inch foam, just to, and cut it out the shape of it just to stick on top to protect it, because it may go so it doesn't go up and down, because the acoustic case would be thicker, but that's about it. But they probably have, if they haven't had someone try to order a case for it, since they don't make them, they would be able to get something that should work. You know, because I there are certain things that have just gotten to the point where, no, I'm not doing it. But I just love this Made in USA, that he's trying to get people. He's trying to reverse a huge trend in this country, because what you have is these people that sit there and like, well, because I got four kids, I got this, I got this, I get $1,500 for my kids, I get $600 here, and I get this, now I get $2,000, and I don't have to work, and they can't take away my benefits because of my kids. And what's going to happen when those kids go away and then you ain't got that benefit? You actually have to start working again. What you going to do then? What the, you know, this, the Democrats I have seen have tried to put an entitlement society where a lot of these entitlements were, okay, you do this, you do this, you do this. Well, that's great. Now I get these benefits, but okay. Sometimes they're not enough, so you have to get more entitlements to help them, and then before you know it, you're in this never-ending cycle of these benefits, and then, hey, if I'm getting up, why would I work? Now I got to figure out how I can keep getting these benefits, so if they can't take them away. And he's trying to get it to back to the, you know, there was a time when, like when I was in Philadelphia, when I was in the city of Brotherly Love is a great city. I love it. I love it. I love it. I was in Norristown. And the Italian guy's like, son, did you notice something did you notice anything on the different about the trees when you came in today? No. You should have known that there was no money going on them. You got to earn it. New kids in this society where you think everything should just be handed to you. In my day, you came over from Italy with $40. You had T-O-N-Y on your name tag saying to New York, and everyone thought your name was Tony. You had to earn it. You want to have it handed to you? Yeah, I had to hand it to me. Here's $40. Off to New York. Good luck. Hope you make it. And we made something of it. We wanted to do something. We didn't want to just collect a check. I love going into those little dives. Yeah, I go around that corner. There's like a window here. There's a tiny door and there's another window. That little tiny door, go in there. You will have the best food. Oh, I'm telling you. You go in there. I'm telling you. That is the best tempura fried food ever. I don't know how he does that sushi rice. Man, that is incredible. You like raw fish? He does raw fish. You're vegan, he'll make you vegan stuff. You're vegetarian, he'll do whatever you want. He's incredible, man. Just tell him what you like and he'll cook you up. He'll make great stuff. Go in there. You want to have the best croissant? Man. Yeah, man, 4th Street, man. That guy has been making croissants. He's a 4th-generation croissant maker. Those are the best. We have people that want to carry on a legacy and want to do. And this is kind of breaking, but I mean, of course, Hillary Clinton says there's nothing to these. But a federal court today will have a hearing take place over a Freedom of Information Act seeking the former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's email during her tenure as the State Department. I was announced Wednesday. I haven't heard, if anything, what was done about this, but this was filed originally in May of 2015 and supposedly said, you know, she made a couple mistakes, but nothing was illegal, nothing was wrong and all this. Of course, she's, you know, the emails were not the reason why she didn't get the election. The emails were half of the reason. A lot of people had a problem with this, okay? Well, she stole the nomination from Bernie Sanders. And from there, well, they couldn't vote for Trump, but they didn't want to vote for her, but they're going to vote for her because, granted, she sucks, but she's better than Trump. And that's how some people felt. It's just one of those things that, hey, I hope to look into this and find more information because I tried to find out if they were able to win this or what's going on with it, and I couldn't find anything more out about it. So, and since this is ongoing litigation, you know, the State Department spokesman said they will not get further into this. They can't talk about an ongoing litigation. You know, basically, by the time you know something, it'll be probably like, oh, this is what the case was, you know. So, hey, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. I don't think it's going to mean anything. I mean, Trump's president now. Obama's left. I mean, you know. Obama was not born in the USA, but I mean, I don't think that will ever change anything. It's not like they can say, okay, well, we have to repeal. Like, he did what he did. There's no going back. I mean, if they get these emails or not, I don't think, even if they're able to get these emails and it proves that what we've always believed, which I think they already know that, I don't think it's going to change anything. I don't think, like, okay, they're going to finally indict her. I don't know if she can ever be indicted. I'll have to ask one of my attorney friends if she could ever get you know, hung for what she did. This is amazing. A new poll says that 74% of Americans are wanting the GOP to reach out to Democrats on health care. I can see that, though, as I move on, because I think Americans want us, what can we do to get the Democrats to shut up? Okay? Obamacare is a disaster. It's falling apart. If Trump does nothing, Obamacare will not exist in 4 years. I guarantee you. It will cease to exist. It is crumbling. That's fact. And I think they want to sit there and let's get the Democrats involved. That way they can't complain. But then you have a lot of liberals that are bitching about Trump care and things that might be in it that if it was in Obamacare, they wouldn't say a word about it. The number one thing I think that should be in there is that Congress should have to follow our laws. I mean, if we have to use this health care law, like why didn't the congressmen and senators have to use Obamacare? I don't know if that was really pushed much. Because I'd have been like, well, okay, if this Obamacare is so great, then why are all these Democrats and senators being exempt from it? Here we go. The GOP is going to get rid of health care for everybody. Not everyone had health care before Obamacare, and not everyone has health care now. It's not like Obamacare magically gave health care to every single solitary American and everyone was covered. Show me proof that every single solitary American was covered under Obamacare, and it didn't exempt not one person. And it covered every single condition and every single solitary problem. Show me to where any American could have went to the doctor and they would have had any condition covered 100% of marijuana. You're not going to find that. I guarantee you there were Americans under Obamacare that were not covered or not eligible to be covered. I guarantee you there were things that probably under Obamacare you couldn't. They just wouldn't. Sorry, it didn't pay for this. It didn't pay for that. I guarantee you. Healthcare wasn't perfect before Obamacare, and it's not perfect now. I just don't like when liberals try to piss and moan about things that if it was Democrat doing it, they'd be like supporting it because they have no when they don't have to be involved in it, they'll say whatever they have to support something. They will support whatever they want to because they are null and void from the whole process. That's what a lot of people don't realize. Democrats and Republicans will flip sides so often. Why? Because this law ain't going to affect them because they don't have to abide by it. I like what Trump kind of said. With about 30 minutes into the program, folks, about 30 minutes left, I want to thank you all so much for tuning in wherever you are around the world. But it doesn't matter where you live. Shouldn't the government have to abide by the same laws you do just because you are a leader of your country or like a congressman or a senator? Shouldn't, if they pass a law, shouldn't you have to abide by it? Why should a congressman or senator or prime minister be exempt from a law? I remember a French tutor that was online one time, he goes, well, I've been given crap for telling people that you can use this pronunciation or this, I forget what it was. And he played a clip of Who was it? It was the French Prime Minister, and I forget which one it was. But one of the French Prime Ministers was, he showed clips of him saying this phrase. I forget what the phrase was. It's not the point. But if the French Prime Minister can use it, then it's pretty, because they said it's like poor grammar. It's not, you know, it's like saying, "What's up, bro?" Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Word. Man, that's not polite. That's not proper. Well, if he said it, then, you know, if the Prime Minister can use this phrase, then we should be able to, because he is a dignitary. But the problem you have in most places is all these people passing these laws are exempt from these things. That, well, it doesn't matter which way it goes, because I'm not having to follow it. Who cares if Obamacare passes or not, man? I got my own health care plan. I'm a governor. And that's the problem. But I do like Trump basically coming out saying, okay, well, before you even go on break, we should have a health care bill on my desk that, okay, let's revise it. This just needs to be tweaked, needs to be revised, but we need to have a health care bill. How can you leave with a job not done? Okay, tell me that. An American worker can't leave till his job's done, but you're going to tell me that you're just going to leave and go on your break. And this break in the session back in the day was so you could get back to farming and working on your fields and getting your crops ready to harvest. Not now. Now it's to go to one of your 5 vacation homes and kick it in an $11 million house and your private jet. And when you only make hundred and some thousand a year. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Well, the Senate Judiciary Committee is actually going to have Trump testify on this Russia crap, which to me is just bull crap, because it's just one big witch hunt that keeps going on and on because the Democrats and the liberal media doesn't have anything else. They don't. We can't say anything negative about Trump, and we have no other, so all we can do is just keep pushing this Russia thing. At some point, I'm not even a liberal and I'm done with it. But then you have all these people that are just done with it. Just like in terms of, okay, well, we're not going to stop. We're not going to give up. We're just going to keep going and going and going and going and going. Okay, I'm spending $100 million a day to find something that I can get Trump on for impeachment. Okay, he's getting out of office. I don't care. I got 400 computers going nonstop. We're going to find something on him. I don't care. He has to break in the law somehow, some way, at some point. I mean, we can't help this country, because we're too concerned about finding something wrong with Trump. Maybe if they, all these people that are pushing this Black Lives Matter crap and all this other stuff, maybe, just maybe, this country would be better if we tried to make it better instead of trying to bash somebody. Remember, it was Obama that started this class warfare. These greedy, evil, rich people. Yeah, and I don't remember seeing Barack Obama trying to cut back and say, no, no, no. These greedy, evil, rich people. And Barack Obama's went, oh yeah, we got 25 servants. We're gonna go on vacation every week, play golf all the time. I'm gonna get pissed off when an American dies and actually have to stop playing golf just to acknowledge that someone died. Really? he's dead. Who cares about him? I don't, you know, I mean, you know, that's what, that tells you how bad this country is. When you have liberals that bitch and moan about the greedy, evil Republicans, but then, okay, so Hillary Clinton's not rich. But it's class warfare, folks. Obama started it, you know? We didn't have... Was there racism when Barack Obama was in office? There's always been racism here, even before he was in office. Has it gotten better? Because that's what a lot of people said, you know, thank God we got Barack Obama in the office and things are going to change for the better because, look, now black people can't say, well, oh, I see how it is. You know, there's no advantage for the black man because I can't make it in this world because, you know, I don't have white privilege. The white man get everything. Well, a black man has become president. And one that wasn't even born in this country, which gives tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of hope to people from Kenya, Africa, who say, hey, look, if Barack Obama can be born in Kenya, Africa, and become the leader of the free world, our kids and the people of Kenya can dream big because there's nothing that is not possible. Okay? And that's how it is. But what happened out of all that? Antifa, Black Lives Matter, class warfare, race relations are worse, not better. And this is coming from some black people that lived during the Civil War, lived during the Civil Rights, not Civil War. Well, I mean, you could probably say that, but the Civil Rights Movement and stuff there, it's worse now. I don't remember when Bush was president, when people wanting separate dormitories and separate graduation ceremonies. But like I was talking about on Tuesday, how many Christians are trying to get... We're not trying to stop atheist groups. They're trying to stop us. How it is. A lot of people thought that, hey, guess what, folks? That's how the cookie crumbles. I thought, well, at worst, we got someone that's going to turn this country, at least with, he's going to bring us together with race relations. He's probably going to be very liberal in his agendas, but at least he's going to bring us together with, you know, unite the country, not divide it worse than it's ever been. I mean, the Dow closed at record highs again. Oh, but they can't talk about that. I mean, that would be the front page news of every liberal newspaper. They talk about that all day long if it was Obama. But hey, since it's Trump, you won't hear about it. Well, the Dow's gone up to record highs again. It's probably just because, you know, all the money that Putin's given Trump and he's pumping it into the, you know, stock market and his companies, you know. But that's just how it is. They would be spinning it. If they talked about it, they'd spin it as a Russia thing. But hey, that's just where the cookie crumbles, you know. I mean, God forbid you give credit where it's due. I mean, we don't have in this country anymore a society where it's like, okay, yeah, this is what Obama did good, but this is what he did really bad. You know? This is what Trump's done. I don't agree with Trump on this, but hey, I love what he did here. This is really good for the country, but this, yeah. You know, this is kind of funny because Al Capone's vault man, Geraldo Rivera. Sadly, we have not heard the last of O.J. Simpson. Like, what is he magically going to come back and be like a commentator on Monday Night Football? I don't know what he's going to do. He looks pretty worse for the wear. I hope he just takes his NFL retirement and his pensions and stuff and just lives his life out wherever he does. You know, I hope something doesn't come up again and he's back in court. Because since he was up for parole, they've had all these videos recently, like, well, where's the house? That's one of the biggest surprising things about, like, because I was at my friend Gary Myers' house, and we were watching it with his dad, his uncle, and I'm just like, we just had that, well, as soon as we shut it off, something big's going to happen. And we had to watch it. And now it really pisses you off when you find out now that, well, he just wanted to hear this basketball game, so he had Al Collins drive very, very slow on the freeway, so that he could listen to the whole game. And they had like, well, one of Al Cowling's friends bought the Bronco for $75,000. I guess there was some museum in Tennessee where you can see it now. And I was surprised about the house because I guess like it, after that, it took like 2 years to sell that place, and they've since totally redone it, and they've changed the address and all this. I thought that would have been like the biggest selling point. I thought there'd be like a bidding war to have the house that they got murdered in. Okay, I want to have it. I want to, if you can, as much as you can leave it untouched. I mean, if you have to get rid, if you have to scrape up all the blood or whatever for forensic, that's fine. If you can scrape what you need and leave the rest, and you know, I want to have it cordoned off and whatever. I thought that'd be like a huge selling point. Like, yes, you know, like the O.J. Simpson house where Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman were killed sold for $400 million. I mean, not being like morbid, but I thought that'd be like a big, I just thought like that'd be like a huge thing. Because I know people that, if I say, okay, I was talking to one of my coworkers, I'm like, okay, what would you do if you went into a house and you were going to buy? And the real estate agent will not go into the house at all. They won't go near it. And when you go into the front door, the family's living all on one floor in one living room. The stairs to the outdoors is boarded shut, so you can't go upstairs. All the doors downstairs, except for that one room that you open up the door and you walk right into the living room. And any door besides what's in the living room, okay, they're all shut. They're all locked. So you can't go anywhere but just that little living room and then this kitchen. And they're all sleeping in sleeping bags. And when you walk in there, you, what's my home? I want to go upstairs and yada yada. And they're like, and they just bolt out of the house. What would you do? You just, heck, I'd buy that place in a heartbeat. Not me. I'd be like, you know, if the house looks too good to be true, if it's really cheap and it's really big and hasn't sold in like 4 years and the real estate agent won't go in there, I ain't going. I'm buying it. That's just me, though. But, I mean, I guess my point is I thought that would be like a big thing. Like the lady that owns the house where they filmed Goonies in. She has so many visitors to that place that I thought when that, I wonder how much she paid for that, because I thought that would go for like 50 times what it's worth, just because that's where the infamous Goonies movie is, and there's millions of people that go by her house, and she's finally had to get on national TV and like, stop. I live here. This is my home. Leave me alone. I want to just be in my home. Quit. I'm tired of freaking people coming by the house by the thousands every day. I was watching, somehow I got into seeing something. I was seeing like previews and stuff of Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and a guy took a drone and was flying it around, and they found the iconic pool that the probably the most iconic pool scene in any movie with Brad Hamilton in the bathroom and all that. And he filmed with the drone the house, what the pool looked like, because from the way it sounds, the owners wouldn't let him film it, but it's kind of neat to see, like, wow, this is the pool now, but with the one they used in the movie, and, you know, so it's kind of neat, but I guess I'm kind of a fan of those movies where they go to, like, where they were, okay, this is where they filmed this movie or that movie, and, you know, this is what's here and this is what's not, and especially the old Smokey and the Bandit, where they'll take, like, a snapshot, and this is a freeze frame from the movie. And this is a freeze frame from the movie, and here's as close as they can get to an actual camera shot from, they believe, the exact same angle, and this is what the road looks like, or this is this isn't even a restaurant anymore. It was bulldozed, and now it's this, or this is the grandstands from the movie, at the end where they go in and they have and they deliver the Coors. That, like, race part doesn't even exist anymore. It's kind of, like, hasn't been used since, like, the 90s. And to see how decrepit it is, kind of neat to see some of that stuff. This is what it looked like in its heyday, and here it is now. And some of that's kind of cool, but I guess I thought, like, because of what happened in the house, it might, you know, for some reason, I'd be weirded out if they tried to get, if there's a bidding war for that place where the murders took place, but at the same time, I'd be like, I would kind of expect it, because that's America, and but anywho, I want to move on now, because we're about 10 minutes away from the start of the International Champions Cup. It's the U.S. Derby between Manchester United and Man City, and in the transfer window, our transfer window sucks balls right now. And if you heard what Jose Mourinho basically came out and said, and what I believe, and Mark from the United Stand kind of said this, and I agree 100%. I kind of feel like he didn't out and out say this, but he did. That, like, hey, this is in April. I gave you the list of the players I wanted, and this is who I want. And, okay, we played a 4-3-3 last year. It was horrible. Our central defense midfielders, Fellaini is horrible. Why we have him, I have no idea. If we get Matic as our third and final transfer, which I think is going to be, I'm hoping that if it is him, that magically somehow he turns into a Ruud van Nistelrooy or a Cantona or a Beckham and just, like, dominates and goes 100 miles an hour. Because he's not even Manchester quality. But what Mourinho is basically, from what I'm understanding, he's like, without saying it point blank, he's like, well, I'm wanting these players, and they're not giving me the money. I took a mediocre team, and I took them, and we are now in the Champions League. I kind of look at it like this. If you may not get this if you're from England or France or whatever, but if you look at Alabama, the football program, it is incredible. Incredible. The coach is phenomenal. Nick Saban, if he says, these are the players I want, get these people to Alabama, you better do whatever it takes to get them to Alabama. And if, as he's proven, he's dang successful. So now, if he says, get these two, I want this guy here, I want this guy here, get him. You better believe you should do what he says, because he's a successful coach. Manchester United, because if he easily was on thin ice, could have easily slipped through the cracks and not even made the Champions League. With the team we had, Mourinho produced miracles to get a Champions League out of it and to get the hardware he did. To me, if he wants Nangola or Fabinho or Morata or Belotti, they should be going after them and getting them at any price. And if he succeeds and we win a league title, then he's proving himself. I think he proved him. I'm not a big fan of Mourinho, but he proved himself with the team he had to get them into the Champions League, that if he wants players, he should damn get it. Okay, you want to pay 90 quid now for a jersey? You want 60 quid to go to a game? I'm paying all this money because I'm a fan of the richest club in the world, and they're going to penny pinch and say, no, we're not going to spend that kind of money. We spent 30 million pounds more on Pogba than we should have. But you know what? We got him. He's United. There you go. You know, you could say, well, 50 million pounds is a lot for Perisic, but you know what? Another club could do it and say, okay, yep, we'll spend it. And then guess what? Most people are not going to say, wow, did they overpay? They're going to say, hey, they did what they had to get Perisic. I mean, we need a good central defensive midfielder. We don't have. Fellaini is like a snail. Matic is going to be the same way. If we get him, which I think it's a very good chance we're going to get him as our other central defensive midfielder, we're screwed. Unless magically he picks up the pace. I mean, they need to have like remote-controlled tasers on. Okay, you know, if you pick up the pace, do something. Or else it's going to be another 4-3-3 season with an unevent where you're going to like, wow, what's halftime? Oh, man, I slept through that first quarter. Man, that was a snail. We don't have any pace in the midfield. I mean, Fabinho is still a possibility, but out of 10, it's about a 3 out of 10. And he's, you know, honestly think it's going to be Matic. But when you look at, I guess I'm passionate about this team. And it just really bites my balls if the vibe I got from Mourinho is the truth. And hey, these are who I want. They're not going to spend the money. They're going to put caps on me. I had a mediocre team and I took them and now we're in the Champions League. And now we need players not only to maintain our Champions League status, but to keep us going. That's what Alex Ferguson always did. He was always looking, okay, yeah, this is my team now, but I need to make sure that we have players and stuff for next year and year after. So that in 3 years, I've got, well he's looking at, his contract ends with AC Milan, and I'm going to get him, he's going to come to United. He's already agreed. He was looking ahead. That's what Mourinho is trying to do. But Mourinho is just trying to get players for the team now. And he's just basically giving me the vibe like, hey, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I got us to the Champions League. I've done this. And I'm being told, we're not going to spend that. We're not going to do this. We're not going to. I never was a big fan of Mourinho. I didn't want him. But he's gotten us to the Champions League. If he stayed 5 or 6 years as the manager and got us in, and if he's there for a total of 7 years and gets us 5 titles in a Champions League, I'd be saying, Thank you, Mourinho. I was not really a big fan of yours, but you proved me wrong. You did something with the club. I wasn't big on him coming in after the last season at Chelsea, but he got us in the Champions League. You need to give him the room to get the players that he wants in there. And then, okay, let's say you get Morata, and it doesn't work out, and we go back down. Let's say you get some good players. And, okay, well, hey, we got you what you wanted, and you didn't make the most of it, okay? Now we're not in the Champions League anymore. The first year you got us there, then the second year you didn't do enough to keep us there. You know, yeah. He proved to me that he can do a lot with a little bit. It's time to give him what he wants and see what he makes of it. And if he makes good on it, okay, then hopefully the next year you can get, okay, we only need two players or one player. And you don't have to get six players or spend a lot of money. Okay, let's trade this guy for this guy. Let's bring this in. I'm passionate about the team. I've never been real a big fan of Mourinho, but with what he had and where he got us, okay. Let's see what happens. I feel like we're kind of screwed right now because I feel like, okay, he's basically, without mentioning names, he's like, well, hey, I'm trying to get this club. I'm trying to get these players, but the club won't let me. So, and if that's the case, that, you know, the fans need to, you know, put the money where their mouth is. Okay, hey, speak with your money. Well, I want to thank you all so much for tuning in to the program that I hope you feel a part of. And maybe I've got some new Reds fans out of it. But remember, with the firm alliance and the protection of the divine, our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honors. Until next Tuesday, good night and God bless. Goodbye.